Back on Downtown, it's time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Hello there, sir.
Hello. That's an interesting song.
That's
who is singing that?
That is Brian Wilson and Jimmy Buffett.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess they're specialists in tropical locales.
Yeah.
And not that South America is tropical, but we're going to go with that. Huh. All right. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, we're going to talk Argentina, so we can do that. Argentina, formerly famous for a lot of things, wine, amongst other things, which we are going to talk about, but now it's mostly famous for the latest kiss heard around the world.
Right.
Oh, who knows? My goodness. Though we are not talking about Buenos Aires today. Well, actually, it will be mentioned briefly. Just before we got on the air, man, I just saw this. I'm shocked and appalled. This is the hockey news for anybody who's fans of the sport, and I know a lot of us are. Very unfortunate incident happened to a guy named Adam and Johnson, former Penguins player, and he was playing in an English team, and he got his throat cut from a skate. This has happened here. Look up Clint Malarchuk, anybody want to. But it's also, I mean, I didn't get my throat cut, but I got my face cut. I got a tooth knocked out. I've had a leg shot. Apparently they've arrested, they won't say who it is yet, but I can only assume it's the young man whose skate unfortunately did this to him on suspicion of manslaughter. And I'm just like, well, what are we doing?
That's crazy.
What are we doing? And unless there's something strangely nefarious, which I've watched the video of the thing, because I'm glutton for punishment, I'm just like, guys, I mean, you can't start doing these things in violent sports. I mean, they're violent. It's what it is. Like, we sort of accept that. Speaking of which, it was nice to see Damar Hamlin on the field. Speaking of violent sports, where weird things can happen. I hope everybody hasn't been, by the way, enjoying this crazy football season, both collegiate and professional. It's also very fun. I have no team anymore. All I have is draft picks that I'm looking towards.
But you're not fired up for that big Giants-Patriots game in a couple weeks?
Well, it's, you know when the talking heads start saying, maybe it's best that they start losing all of their games, and you're like, right. I'm on one of those teams now. Like, those teams were always the Cardinals or the Bears recently or whatever. Like, we're the Giants. What are we doing? But then I've watched the games as much as I can stomach, and I'll be honest. My wife has seen me turn off more games this season than most. Anyway.
Tommy DeVito and Bailey Zappi head-to-head. That's awesome.
You know what I heard on the radio today, and this is absolutely the God's honest truth. You know, when you see somebody like that person's from New York, they show Tommy DeVito's dad, they're like, that dude's from New York. All true. And Tommy DeVito totally looks like he lives 9 miles from the Meadowlands.
Oh, yeah.
Where he lives.
Absolutely. In his parents' house, yeah.
I know. I'm like, I know that guy. It's hilarious. I know he's wearing a gold chain somewhere beneath that. God bless him. Well, anyway, so let's talk. Yeah, so like I was about to say, the thing that cures my ills is a nice glass of wine, perhaps from Argentina. Obviously, we're heading on towards Thanksgiving, which is next week. My God. And some of the things that we're going to talk about today might be good ideas for your Thanksgiving or post-Thanksgiving holiday tables. Argentina. Argentina is a very large country, but the wine section, which is itself pretty vast, runs basically along the eastern side of the Andes Mountains, much as as we talked about last week, the Chilean wine, although Chile is sort of a narrow swath of land, run along the other side on the west coast. But, of course, you have a lot of territory when you're talking about Argentine wine country as well, running from actually some of the highest altitude vineyards in the world, up north of the what is known as the Salta Plains. And then you do have the Salta Plains themselves, which are fairly high altitude, sort of a plateau with several different valleys running out of it. And then you go down through some lesser known regions, and then get into some of the more high production regions, San Juan, Mendoza, and then indeed all the way down into the Patagonian side of Argentina, of the Andes Mountains. So a lot of different territories in which to grow stuff. Going back in history, just to sort of remind everybody of when Argentina became big, probably earlier than you think. And also just a reminder for everybody that South America is ahead of us by 6 months. So whenever we're talking vintages for South America, you are talking about something that was picked 6 months probably before you're thinking it was, which is just kind of interesting. It doesn't necessarily mean anything in terms of quality. It just means, you know, when they're on, the sun's on their side of the world. Argentina obviously has huge European influence, a lot of obviously early Hispanic influence, then other Europeans, I don't need to mention the German and Italians, perhaps after the 1945-ish time frame, but a lot of folks, of course, French immigrants during the phylloxera epidemic, etc. The first established vineyard in what is now, you know, known as the San Juan region of Mendoza was in 1556, and the first commercial vineyard appeared 1 year later, because, as I always remind people, when people from Europe come over, they like to get their drink on, and they make sure that it happens fairly quickly. Malbec, of course, the famed Argentine Malbec, which is not Argentine at all. It's originally, well, it's actually from Eastern Europe, but most famously thereafter from Cahors in France. One of the provincial governors sent a French agronomist back to France to bring clippings, and indeed he brought the first clippings of Malbec. And so bear in mind, again, this is in the 1500s, not, you know, French people bringing it over in the phylloxera epidemic, for instance, which would be the mid-1800s. So Malbec and some of these other clippings have been there for a very long time. And then, of course, you know, additional clippings would come with time. But that's, you know, that's sort of the depth of history. The viability of Mendoza and then the surrounding communities as a wine region was really only solidified when there was the first railway built. That was in the late 1800s, and that's from Buenos Aires to Mendoza. And so all of a sudden you had commercial transport, outside sales, and of course you all of a sudden also had all these European immigrants coming in. So there was a big sort of circular thing happening. And that's when Argentina really started to boost its wine production. It is currently the fifth largest producer in the world. Just goes to show. Obviously, it's had ups and downs. Military dictatorship under Perón. But it has certainly burst back onto the scene in many, many ways, including, of course, with the latest Taylor Swift concert. Which has nothing to do with the wine scene, but if I don't mention Taylor Swift at least once or twice a segment, I feel like I'm not fulfilling the terms of my contract.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, well, it's the way to get clicks these days.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to help you out. Another interesting phenomenon, and we'll talk more about Argentina next week because I know we're running short on time, but an interesting phenomenon has been the outside investment, of course. French investment specifically. Also some heavy Italian investment, but the French investment started to bring about what we call the flying winemakers, most famously Michel Roland, who does Clos de la Siete, which is a very famous sort of Bordelaise-style blend. but lots of French investment, French ownership, French winemakers. But they're not making French wines. They're definitely making Argentine wines. The other important winemaker is obviously Catena, with the current head of Catena having achieved this. I confess, I forget the name of it. It's essentially she was the first person to do all just the most assiduous soil testing of all of her high altitude vineyards, and is essentially created the first cru vineyards of Argentina with proof of, you know, this soil is better for this and this soil, very much along the sense of what Burgundy has done for years. But hers is just deeply scientific. There's been papers published about it, etc. So Catena is obviously leading the charge there. I know I'm out of time. I will talk to you guys more about the grapes and the region next time, as well as the rest of South America. And, Rich, are we on next week?
We are on next week, yes.
It is not a highlight show or anything.
Oh, great. No.
Well, then I will talk to you. No good. Well, it will be a highlight when I'm on, I promise you all. We'll talk about that, and then a couple things for your Thanksgiving table. And, then.
Fabulous. We'll see you then. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle here on a Tuesday afternoon.